Hi, this is Scott Stanley with DTG Ministries, exploring the deep things of God in the book of Revelation. Our last podcast, we entered into the seals of Revelation chapter 6, and seeing that it actually starts in chapter 5 where the Father hands the Son a book sealed with seven seals. And really, you know, a seal is a confirmation. And you're looking at the life of a believer who truly wants to serve God, who truly wants to know the Word of God and begins to study the Bible. And the things, the changes that we go through in that process. Process of what? The process of coming out of the great apostasy. We've seen that the apostasy began in the first century when people began to walk away from the apostolic church. 1 John 2:18, 19, 20, and so on. And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that this man of sin, we already see it happening, and it's going to continue until Christ stops it, basically. So that apostasy had already began in the days of the apostles. So if it began in the first century and last to the end of the world, how could you and I not be a part of that? It's been happening all of our life, but we just didn't know it. No one ever sat us down and said, look, 1 John chapter 2, the Antichrist spirit came out of the apostolic church, and they will deny the Father and Son, and they will deny Christ came in the flesh, which we tried to define in the last podcast. So we went through Revelation 6 looking at these seals, and there is a point in these seals that I want to come back to. What I want to share today is simple, but it's profound. And when you understand this prophecy, it will really open up a lot of verses in the Bible for you. So, looking at those seals again, you start off on the white horse, and your motive is pure. And the horse turns red, which is, red is a symbol of self and sin. But the horse turns red, peace is taken from the earth, you're given a great sword, that sword's the Bible, and you begin to weigh what verses are more important than other verses until you come to a place where you realize God is not in what I'm doing, you cry out for help, God answers that prayer in the sixth seal. And he shows you your sun is black. The way you're looking at the Son of God is darkness, black as sackcloth of hair. The way you're reading the law in the Bible, the moon is a symbol of that, is red. You're putting your own meanings to it. And all the stars, all of the truths, all the messages that you thought were true fall to the earth. But there's something he says here that I want to read right now. Verse 14 of Revelation 6. What does he mean when he says the heavens departed as a scroll when it's rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place? What does he mean when the heavens departed as a scroll? Well, this is a symbol. The heavens, when he talks about the heavens departing as a scroll, he is not speaking literally. The heavens mean something that I want to share with you right now. And I know that these things, I mean, we've looked at these things literally all of our lives, but we've been in the apostasy all of our lives, and we haven't been gleaning the truth of the Scripture. Isaiah 55, verse 8, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." See, he doesn't think the way we think. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Verse 9, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Right here, he is just giving us two symbols, the heavens and the earth. The heavens are a symbol of the way God understands things. The earth is the way we understand it. And if we wanted to, we could add a third symbol in here, the sea. The sea is a symbol of the world, but it's the way the world thinks. See, sea water will kill you. You can't survive on seawater. You have to have heavenly water. Water is a symbol of thought. If we were to keep reading this in Isaiah 55, verse 10, "As the rain comes down and the snow from heaven and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth." See, thoughts and understanding are also water. So water from the heavens, from God's understanding, is what gives us life. Water from the sea, or the way the sea, the way the world looks at what is true, doesn't give you life. So here we have been experiencing an apostasy all of our lives. And the Lord is wanting to give us fresh, clean, pure water. So let's keep building on this. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 1. "The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, saith the Lord," or saith Jehovah, "which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him." See, that heavens and earth make up our spirit, make up our understanding. You have in your mind what you believe to be God's understanding. That's what we all want. We want God's understanding. So we have been listening to people who have been teaching us what they believe to be God's understanding. And then when you realize this isn't working out for me, something is not right. I'm just not experiencing a freedom from sin. What I want to do, I don't want to do. What I don't want to do, that's what I do. The Romans 7 experience. Well, thoughts produce feelings. Feelings move us to action. If our thoughts are not accurate, our actions will not be accurate either. And we see in Revelation 6 in those seals, you cry out for help and he starts changing your heavens, the sun, the moon, and the stars, until he rolls the heavens together. He puts it away like a scroll. He stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and creates man's spirit. But we reach a place where something isn't right. We begin to realize something is wrong in what we're believing. So let's turn to Isaiah 65. and look at verse 17. He says, "For behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth." Why would he need to do that? Because what we've been told about God isn't true. And what we thought God desired of us isn't accurate. So he has got to give you a new heaven and a new earth. A new way of perceiving God and seeing what he believes, and a new way of perceiving yourself and the things that are beginning to come out of you. You know, as you read the Bible, you're determining things. And maybe it's different from the sea, but it's still self. And without God's explanation, without a true understanding of what God understands, we're not going to get it. We're not going to understand. So he says again, Isaiah 65:17, "Behold, I create a new heaven and a new earth." That's not outward literal. You see it beginning to happen in the sixth seal of Revelation. Because he is closing the heavens you have, and he is going to create a new one. "The former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever." Isaiah 65:18, "In that which I create, for behold, I create Jerusalem, a rejoicing, and her people a joy." I'll rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. "And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying." When he creates this new heaven and this new earth, he's creating new Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is something that is within us. It is a city. It is a woman. How do we know it's a woman? Because Galatians 4 says that Jerusalem above is the mother of us all. Have you ever put that together to understand what Paul meant when he said that? And remember in Revelation 17, you've got the harlot. In Revelation 17, the whore that sits on many waters. When you look at the last verse of 17, the woman is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's Babylon. Babylon is a city, which is a symbol of a mindset. A woman. The harlot is a city of Babylon. New Jerusalem is the city of God. At the end of the book, you have two cities. You can either be dwelling in Babylon or you can be dwelling in New Jerusalem. Babylon is confusion about God. New Jerusalem is having an understanding of God. So again, look at this. God knew we would go into apostasy. The prophecies are there. The apostasy would last to the end of time. So when you come to the end, you've got people who remain in the apostasy, and you have people who wanted to change and know the truth about God. Again, in that sixth seal, it starts with the sun being black as sackcloth of hair. You've got to understand he really is the Son of God, and he was born in eternity. And the apostasy people, the spirit of Antichrist, will deny that he came in the flesh. To be in the flesh means that you do not have an understanding of God. Christ was born into this world without an understanding of God. He didn't have a halo. And he basically says that now that we're kind of getting a handle on the heavens and the earth and the sea, if you'll look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3, I want to read to you verse 13, John 3:13. No man has ascended up to heaven. Now, hold it. That word heaven has the definite article, the word the in front of it. Here's the way this verse reads. No man has ascended up to the heavens, but he that came down from the heavens, the Son of Man, which is in the heavens. Literally speaking, he was standing on this planet. It was in his mind he was in the heavens, and the heavens mean God's understanding. So let's look at this again. No man hath ascended up to God's understanding, but he that came down from God's understanding. See, he emptied himself and became a man. Remember Isaiah 53, he was as a root out of dry ground. He was the creator, but he had emptied himself. He had no water, a root out of dry ground. Here he is literally telling you he came down from the heavens, from God's understanding, but then he is saying the Son of Man, which is in the heavens, he had ascended back to his understanding. And no one, the point he makes here, no man has ascended up to the heavens. If you're in the apostasy, you're not going to just ascend up to God's understanding unless you correct the way you perceive the Son of God. And when you change the way you see the Son of God, you change the way you see the Father. See, he says in Revelation, let's turn to Revelation 21, verse 1. This is a play off Isaiah 65, what we just read, a new heaven and a new earth. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. What is he saying? That there was a new understanding of God and a new understanding of self. And the way the world looked at it was gone. Not literally outward for everybody on the planet, for those who believe. See, everything that God is offering you, it's offered to everybody, but it's only going to be upon the one who believes it. That's found in Romans 3:22. God's offering it, his righteousness, to everybody. His righteousness is his understanding, but it's only upon the one who believes what God is telling him. So, I saw a new heaven, Revelation 21:1, and a new earth, the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no more sea. I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride, adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of the heavens, saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. What you're reading here about New Jerusalem is where God dwells. Where does he dwell? Don't look at it literally. Look at it spiritually. He dwells in that understanding. He'll give you a new heaven and a new earth. He's creating New Jerusalem. New Jerusalem is a symbol being the city of God. It's a symbol of the Spirit of God. Again, at the end of the world, you can be in the spirit of Antichrist and be in Babylon, or you can be in God's spirit and be in New Jerusalem and have a new heaven and new earth with between your ears. And remember, again, you know, all these verses now just start popping out at you, because you begin to realize maybe the way we've been reading this was just so literal. And that literal, it's okay for a while, but you've got to realize, wait a minute, what I'm reading in the scriptures, especially in Revelation, is spiritual. Paul even says that about the law in Romans 7:14. We know the law is spiritual. So we're just reading this spiritually. Revelation chapter 12, verse 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows he has but a short time. So here you have the heavens, earth, and sea. Rejoice if you're in the heavens, because you're in God's understanding. Woe be to you if you're still on the earth and in the sea, because the devil has come down to you. Remember Revelation 13:8, all that dwell upon the earth will worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. All that dwell on the earth, it doesn't mean everybody on this planet. It means all the people who are living according to their own opinions and ideas about God. If that's where you are, woe be to you if you're on the earth and in the sea. You need to be in God's understanding. Again, the seals show those steps that we go through to bring us to the place where we ask God for help. And when he helps you, this is what he does. Your sun is black, your moon is red, the stars need to fall. Close that heavens, because I'm going to give you a new heaven and a new earth, and there will be no more sea. Behold, he says, I create Jerusalem. So, closing remarks. I think the churches are in such deep apostasy that when you tell them the truth, it frightens them. They just can't believe that everybody is wrong, and yet that's what the Lord is telling us. When he talks about the man of sin, and he talks about this apostasy coming on the world, it lasts to the second coming. So the world is in apostasy, and we have been in apostasy, so to hear the truth, it can be frightening. But I want to read a text out of Romans chapter 6, two or three of them here, just real quick. Verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer in it? In verse 17, but God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart into a form of teaching which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Is that what your pastor is telling you? You're free from sin? that you're obeying from the heart into a teaching and you're free from sin, being then made free from sin. If you look at Ephesians chapter 1, let me share something with you. And we just looked at the heavens. Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does Jesus have a God? Yes, he does. It's his Father. There is a Father and a Son. Blessed be the God and Father of Jesus, who has blessed us with all spiritual or blessings of the mind, all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. King James put heavenly places. Places is supplied. That's God's understanding. He's blessed us with all spiritual blessings in his understanding with Christ by using Christ. See, by learning the truth of Christ, he blesses you with all spiritual blessings. Why would he do that? Verse 4, according as he has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. He predestinated us unto the adoption of children through Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. What is he saying? In verse 3, God has given you every spiritual blessing in Christ, verse 4, so that you can be holy and without blame. Why? Because he's adopting us to be his children. Now, there is a lot in that. But again, you see why the book of Revelation was written, to show how people come out of the apostasy. And as we go through the book of Revelation, we're going to be getting into these steps. The things that we have been taught and how it weighs us down and keeps us from understanding the truth of the love of God. So we need to understand the love of God, how the Son showed us the Father. He declared unto us his Father. And how we began to get a different view of God, a different view of ourselves. And we quit listening to the world. As God gives you the truth of himself, he's given you a new heaven, and when he does, he is cleansing the earth. And when he does, he is drying the sea. That is how it works. You receive the truth about God and his Son. It changes the way you see yourself. And you forget the lies the world has been telling you, because they are steeped in apostasy. That will happen. And I pray that you're finding a blessing in this podcast. And download it. Write questions. Send me questions. ScottStanley@dtgrev.org. Let me know what you're thinking. Let me know if you're having a struggle with some of it. But don't ignore this. Father, may you touch our hearts, strengthen our hearts, and help us find peace and grace that we might glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen.